Greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study. God willing, this evening we will cover Ezekiel chapter 16. I do want to apologize for last week. I was traveling and just had a lot of trouble getting onto the internet. And so also I was in a different time zone, so it was just a bit challenging. But God willing, we will cover Ezekiel chapter 16 today. It's a big chapter, but I think we will get through it. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we can get straight into the study. I'll check the chat just to make sure I'm coming through loudly and clearly. Our Heavenly Father, we pause before you. We're just ever so thankful, Father, for the high privilege of being a part of the body of Jesus Christ. We thank you so much, Father, for this calling, for grafting us in, for those of us who are grafted in, and just the understanding that you give to us, Father, as we diligently study your word. We acknowledge, Father, the turbulent and uncertain time that we live in, and we also acknowledge the certainty of your promises and of your word. We thank you, Father, and just pray as you are gracious to us every week. We pray, Father, that again, this will be no exception, and you'll deepen our understanding and our faith. We praise you, Lord, and we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let me go ahead and just confirm in the chat that I am audio and video are good. Thank you, Pastor Murray. And oh, Brother Gary is on. That's a late night for you, Brother Gary. So Gary Monks is our pastor over in the UK, and he does have a channel on YouTube. So those of you who are interested in good edification, he is certainly one of the elders who provides great edification. Thank you, Brother Gary. Brother Ian is on. Wonderful. Merlinine, Rosebud, Jeff Flanick, Sidfried, Pep Square. Let's see who else is here. Denise, nice to see you. Rick Ford, Chuck Reeves, JD. I don't see Christine. Hopefully she's Christy. Hopefully she's with us. And I know many of you don't log in, so welcome. Let's get into Ezekiel chapter 16. And what I want to do first of all, actually, is just it's been a little while. Just remind you of where we ended in Ezekiel 15. Where God said, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem." So there's a real alienation between Jehovah and Jerusalem, and he's willing to just give them to the fire. "And I will set my face against them." They're really his enemy. "They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. This is true cursing. And you shall know that I am Jehovah when I set my face against them." And that, of course, we understand God setting his face against them goes all the way back to Torah. So they're going to see how precisely faithful our Lord is to his word. So that means somebody's got to be teaching them his word so that when they see everything happening precisely according to his word, they will have to acknowledge that they are indeed sinners and that God is indeed faithful to his word. And he says, "And I will make the land desolate because they have committed a trespass, says the Lord God," which again is in compliance with the Torah. I want to now, for Ezekiel 16, I have very few, I think I have two cross-references. Ezekiel 16 is like an allegory, like a big parable or an allegory. And so there's a benefit to us just digesting the allegory. And so I'm going to go through and read it. And I'm going to read it actually in the complete Jewish Bible. I will keep the King James open just in case the wording of the complete Jewish Bible isn't clear for us who are more familiar with the King James. We can just toggle to the King James if need be. But let me go ahead and begin to read Ezekiel 16, which I really should have warned everybody that viewer discretion is in fact advised here. This is not a pleasant chapter. I didn't write it. I can't apologize for it. It's the word of God. But if you do have young children in the room, this is probably not a study for them to be present in. So I've given the advisory. So let's begin. The word of Jehovah. So again, the Jews are afraid to say God's name. So it's not proper there to say Adonai. When you see it in all caps, they're actually saying it's Jehovah. The word of Jehovah came to me. Human being, the audio is good. Yeah. Make Yerushalayim realize how disgusting her practices are. Say that Adonai Jehovah is telling Yerushalayim, by origin and birth, you are of the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. So, well, first of all, let's just talk about this origin of the birth of Jerusalem. That if we go to Genesis 10, that the table of nations, and verse 15, I'll read it in the King James, and Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. Heth is the father of the Hittites. And the Jebusite, which was the original, the occupants of Jerusalem, that King David took it from them, and the Amorite and the Girgashite. So what we see here is the Amorites and the Hittites are also descendants of Canaan, along with Jebus. And in a sense, they're surrounding Jebus. But technically, Jerusalem is descended from Jebus, not from Hittite or Heth and Amorite and the Amorite. However, you can see they're all Canaanites. And clearly, there's a very tight association as these nations and families are being founded. And I think what God is saying here through Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 16 and verse 3, is he's not speaking of all Jews. He's speaking specifically of Jerusalem. And he's saying by origin. So the Jews can say, well, we come from Judah. We come from Abraham. But Jerusalem cannot say that. God is saying your spiritual origin and birth are from Canaan. The Canaanites, filthy, filthy, filthy people who were in the land that God took from them by promise to give to the children of Abraham because they were so filthy. And the instructions to Israel were to go in and to cleanse the land of this pornographic, idolatrous, sexual filth. Just cleanse it completely and then establish God's nation. So spiritually, God is saying, he's reminding Jerusalem, spiritually, you are coming from the Amorites and the Hittites and the practices and the religious theology of the Amorites and the Hittites. That's what infused the Jebusites. And that's your actual origin. So you have this holier-than-thou attitude about yourself. Let me remind you, Jerusalem, this is where you are rooted. He says, as for your birth, on the day you were born, nobody cut your umbilical cord, washed you in water to clean you off, or rubbed salt on you, or wrapped you in cloth. So we'd have to go back in time to see how you would deal with a newborn baby, cleansing it, maybe disinfecting it, making sure that it's healthy and looked after. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. No one seeing you had enough pity on you to do any of these things for you. No one had compassion on you. Instead, you were thrown into an open field in your own filth on the day you were born. This is actually how Jerusalem should see themselves and should not forget where they are coming from. He says, I passed by and saw you there, wallowing in your own blood. You're just about to drown in your own blood and your own filth. And I passed by and saw you. And as you lay in your blood, I said to you, live. Yes, I said to you, as you lay in your blood, live. I will increase your numbers just like plants growing in the field. And you did increase. You developed. You reached puberty. Your breasts appeared and your hair grew long, but you were naked and exposed. Again, I passed by you, looked at you, and saw that your time had come, the time for love. So I spread my cloak over you to cover your private parts and entered into a covenant with you, says Adonai Yehovah, and you became mine. Then I bathed you in water and washed the blood off you and anointed you with oil. So this unclean thing, this unclean woman that God went through and just washed and cleansed and anointed and clothed. Verse 10. I also clothed you with an embroidered gown, gave you fine leather sandals to wear, put a fine linen headband on your head, and covered you with silk. Clearly, what God is saying here to Jerusalem is that she is the bride of Jehovah. That God has chosen. She was nothing to look at. And God saw her in her desperation and vulnerability and filth, and saw potential and set her up to be his bride and to be the envy of the whole world and the light to the world. I gave you jewelry to wear. And so I know with the Seventh-day Adventists, for example, or at least before, you couldn't wear jewelry. It was considered sinful. But God gave his wife jewelry to wear. Bracelets for your hands, a necklace for your neck, a ring for your nose, earrings for your ears, and a beautiful crown for your head. You can just see the beauty that God has transformed this desperate, clinging onto life piece of filth and converted it into a glorious woman, his bride. Thus were you decked out in gold and silver. Your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and richly embroidered cloth. And then again, sometimes people think that you cannot dress nicely. Well, God loves nice things, and he dresses his bride very nicely. You ate the finest flour, honey, and olive oil. You grew increasingly beautiful. You were fit to be queen. Which means there's a king that is marrying her and setting her apart and lifting her up. And the whole world was to look to her for instruction and guidance and an example. Then, speaking of Jerusalem, he says, your fame spread among the nations because of your beauty. And you can think of the time when Solomon finally established Jerusalem based upon his father's foundation, and the whole world look to Jerusalem because of her beauty, because it was perfect, due to my having bestowed my own splendor on you, says Adonai Yehovah. So God is the one that set Jerusalem up. He's the one that infused wisdom and knowledge and understanding into Solomon. And then Solomon and all the wealth and the blessings through David to Solomon to set up Jerusalem as the pinnacle on earth. God is the one that did that. But, now we come to the problem. Verse 15. But you put your trust in your own beauty. And this is something that we all have to be careful of. We have to remember where we are coming from. We must remember our humble beginnings as God begins to bless us. Don't think, oh, we did this ourselves. I'm the one who did this. No, let's just remember all of the breaks and the blessings and the opportunities and the blessings that God has given us so that we can be in whatever positions we're in today. But not so with Jerusalem. You put your trust in your own beauty and began prostituting yourself because of your fame, soliciting everyone passing by and accepting all comers. So God is the one who gave her this attractiveness, and then she used the attractiveness that God gave her to prostitute herself. This is unbelievable. And you can certainly feel the pain that God is feeling as he articulates the history of his relationship with Jerusalem. And I think for those of us who have beautiful wives, faithful wives, and the joy of the Christian marriage, God is the one who designed this Christian marriage. And we benefit from this design. We conduct ourselves a certain way. Our wives conduct themselves a certain way so that we can have this incredible blessing of marriage. And God is the one who designed this. And yet, in his own marriage, his wife prostitutes herself against him. And he has to tell Hosea, go and marry a prostitute so that the nation can see what they're doing to me. So you put your trust in your own beauty and began prostituting yourself because of your fame, soliciting everyone passing by and accepting all comers. What a horrible woman. You took your clothes that God gave her and used them to decorate with bright colors the high places you made for yourself. And there you continued prostituting yourself. Such things shouldn't happen. And in the future, they won't. So this is the first indication we have. This is a very intense chapter of judgment and condemnation. But even we're just, you know, partway through. And with all of this set up for the condemnation, we're already seeing a bright future. We're already seeing that in the future, this will be resolved. So there's a hint of hope here. He says, you also took your beautiful jewels made of my gold and my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images, with which you continued to prostitute yourself. You took your everything God blessed her with, she took as articles of prostitution in betraying her covenant with her husband. This is just so despicable and unbelievable. But God is just capturing the whole thing in an allegory. You know, perhaps it would take books and books and books to write of Jerusalem's unfaithfulness. And God just captures it all in an allegory that we can just imagine that the horrendous nature of all of this and then see God's faithfulness. You took your embroidered clothing and covered them. You set my olive oil and my incense in front of them. And you took my food, which I had given you, my fine flour, olive oil, and honey that I had given you to eat, and set it in front of them to give a pleasant aroma. That is how it was, says Adonai Yehovah. Moreover, your sons and daughters whom you bore me, you took and sacrificed them to devour. These are God's children. But you got it in your head that they're yours and you can do whatever you want with them. And you sacrificed them to Moloch. And so today we even see the Jews today being the first and the foremost to inject all of their children with this deadly vaccine. And to be the poster child for Pfizer. Yeah, we'll take all of our sons and daughters and we'll give them over to Pfizer. So it's no different. Were these, God calls them, the English is fornications, but these adulteries and this sexual perversion, are they a casual matter? Killing my children? And you're seeing all these children just dropping dead from cardiac arrest and complications. Killing my children, handing them over, and setting them apart for these idols? in all your disgusting practices. And again, you see, you even think of, again, what happened on October 7th in Israel, just outside of Gaza, at the music festival, the Nova Music Festival. Pure idolatry, debauchery, sexual perversity through and through, all night long, on the high holy day. This is what has become of the children of Judah. And nobody is saying, we must repent. No one is saying we've lost our way. All they're saying is, we're Jews, we should not be mistreated because we are Jews. And then the rest of the world is slowly, or I shouldn't say slowly, maybe I was thinking gradually, but maybe it's not even gradually, is very quickly and rapidly turning against them. That all of this horror, this unspeakable, I can't speak it, this unspeakable horror, the likes of which the imagination would never come up with this, unless, of course, you're plugged into the devil. It's out of the devil's mind that these horrendous assaults were inflicted upon the Jewish people on October 7th. And despite all of that, now the mainstream media, the Western nations, everybody's carrying water for Hamas. No one is acknowledging the wickedness. In fact, they're hiding it. No one really knows that the extent of the brutality and the depravity and the evil, it's all being hidden. And instead, what's being put on center stage and in the spotlight is what Israel is doing to defend herself against Hamas. In fact, I just saw a headline before coming on to the Bible study that Hamas is flooding the tunnels with water. And I was asking my wife just the other day, the sea is right there. Why wouldn't they just pull water from the sea and flood these tunnels? And that, in fact, it looks like that's exactly what they're doing. But they're being condemned for defending themselves. And just it's just drifting away what actually happened on October 7th. Well, when a blockbuster movie comes out, they'll first issue trailers to tease you, to say, hey, this is what, 2 minutes to tease you. This is what this movie, this is going to be a great movie. Well, this is a horror show that's coming down on Jerusalem. And what happened on October 7th is a trailer. It's a 2-minute trailer to say, this is the movie, this is the horror show that's coming. And that's how we have to think about October 7th. Unfortunately, it's heartbreaking that this demonic activity that has possessed this demonic ideology that has possessed these people, and their depravity has no bounds. There's no limit to it. And they rejoice in it. This is the trailer of what is coming to Jerusalem. And so we can see that here. God is calling her out why she must be subjected to all of this. She's the one that sacrificed her children to Moloch. He says, in all your disgusting practices and fornication, you never remembered the condition you were in when you were young, naked, exposed, and wallowing in your own blood. You've forgotten all of that. You think you're just great. You were just born great. So after all this wickedness of yours, God says, woe, woe to you. This is to Jerusalem. What we saw on October 7th, just outside of Gaza, the Gaza Strip, this was a trailer, unfortunately. It's very sad. It's heartbreaking. This just brutality that young people were subjected to, it's the trailer. God himself curses Jerusalem. This is an intensifying curse. These sort of come in cycles. And now we're in the final cycle, the most intense. Woe, woe to you, says Adonai Yehovah. You built platforms and made yourself high places in every open space. You built your high places at every street corner, turning your beauty into an abomination, spreading your legs for every passerby. This is a woman that has just no shame, no shame at all. This is Jerusalem. and multiplying your acts of fornication or whoredoms. You had sex with your big-membered Egyptian neighbors and engaged in fornication, or we say adultery or whoredom, over and over, just to provoke me. This was your intent. We're God's people. We know God's law. We don't want God over us. Let's do the opposite of what he asks of us so that we can provoke him. This is Jerusalem. So now, I have stretched out my hand over you, diminished your ration of food, and put you at the mercy of those who hate you. This is God's doing, and it's going to be most intense before Christ returns, until those who survive, the remnant, will finally cry out to him. But it's going to, they're very stiff-necked and stubborn, and it's going to take a lot of this terror and trauma to soften them and to turn them to Christ. And so God is going to inflict them with famine. And he's going to put them at the mercy of those who hate them. And this pathological hatred from Esau and Ishmael and the surrounding nations, that's all been packaged in this satanic ideology that has possessed them. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a normal human hatred. It's satanic. And God is basically handing Jerusalem over to Satan. That's what this is saying. I've diminished your ration of food and put you at the mercy of those who hate you. The daughters of the Philistines, who find your lewd behavior revolting, they're judging you. You should be the pinnacle of good morality. But they look at you and just think you're disgusted with all of your pride parade, and they just despise you. Still unsatisfied, you acted like a whore, also with the people of Assyria. So Assyria is what we would call today part of Turkey, part of Iran, part of Iraq, part of Syria. All of this area north of Israel is the ancient Assyria. And then it actually spread into a bigger kingdom. But it's those northern nations that historically Daniel would have referred to as the king of the north. Still unsatisfied, you acted like a whore with the people of Assyria. Yes, you fornicated with them, and you were still not satisfied. You multiplied your acts of fornication with the land of traders, the Chaldeans, and were still unsatisfied. So these are now the Babylonians. Going to Iraq now, what we call Iraq today. You were so weak-willed. You were so weak-willed, says Adonai Yehovah. So we're just going through this series now on 2 Peter 1, and we have to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. And this word temperance is really self-control, self-discipline, and just how easy it is for people to destroy their lives in a moment of weakness, to be weak-willed. They know what they should do, they just cannot will themselves to do it, and they destroy their lives and destroy their families. And this Jerusalem, God says, you're so weak-willed. What's wrong with you? You're so weak-willed, says Adonai Yehovah. You do all these things, behaving like a shameless whore, building your platforms, obviously for iniquitous behavior, building your platforms on every street corner, making your high places in every open space. And yet, you aren't like a whore, because you scorn getting paid. At least a whore does these things so that she can get paid. You do these things and you don't even want to be paid. Here is a wife who commits adultery, who goes to bed with strangers instead of her husband, but also instead of receiving gifts like every other prostitute, you give gifts to all your lovers. You bribe them to come to you from all over the place and have sex with you. This is an example of what God is talking about. If we look at King Ahaz. And Ahaz took the silver, this is 2 Kings 16:8. When King Ahaz took the silver and gold that was in the house of Jehovah and in the treasuries of the royal palace and sent it as a present to the king of Assyria. Excuse me. So here is Judah prostituting herself. But instead of prostituting herself so that she can benefit, she prostitutes herself and then she pays. God is saying, this is bizarre. Back to Ezekiel. You are the opposite of other women. You solicit the fornication. You aren't solicited. And you pay them. They don't pay you. You're the opposite. All right, you whore. Listen to the word of Jehovah. Adonai, Jehovah says, because you're filth. So now we come to the judgment. So this, everything else was of God articulating the crimes, the iniquity. Now the judgment, according to Torah. Adonai Elohim, or Adonai Jehovah, more accurately, says, because your filth has been poured out and your privates exposed through your acts of fornication with your lovers, and because of all the idols of your disgusting practices, and because of the blood of your children, which you gave them, therefore, look, I am going to gather all your lovers to whom you've been so very nice. And again, you can even think of the recent past with the nation of Israel, giving away land for peace, entering into all these negotiations and taking her people out of the promised land and giving it to the neighbors who, hey, oh, so that we can have peace. Where's the peace? And in fact, they've set themselves up for destruction. So God says, and again, this is cyclical, so it just keeps happening, but with intensing ferocity. And ultimately, before Christ returns, it'll be the most intense. Therefore, look, I'm going to gather all your lovers, these nations, to whom you've been so very nice, all the ones you hate, right along with all the ones you love. And so we're seeing now those nations that love Judah, or have been America as an example, we stand with Israel. Well, that is certainly loosening. That is certainly loosening. And ultimately, just demographics alone, we're going to see these nations that have been very supportive of Israel never again turn their backs on her. And all the nations of the world will be against her. All the ones you hate, right along with all the ones you love. So the Muslims will get the upper hand and everybody's going to bow to Sharia. And the ideology and the pathological hatred. It's always happening right before our eyes. I will gather them against you from all over the place and expose your private parts to them so that they will see you completely naked. And again, what happened on October 7th, as traumatic as that is, as heartbreaking as that is, that's the trailer. And these Jews have to repent. They were supposed to be the model nation. They were supposed to be the bride of Christ that all the nations should be looking to. But they despised God. And now God despises them. And somebody has to say this. Somebody has to tell them this. But it's not hopeless if they repent. So they will see you completely naked. And unfortunately, we see these young girls being paraded by rapists before and after the rapes, all over naked, parading them like prizes, because somehow they think they're doing God's service. They think that this is what God wants. this demonic god that they serve. Verse 38. I will pronounce on you the sentence that applies to women who commit adultery and murder. It's not just adultery and murder. So God is very Torah compliant. He doesn't just make things up. And I've said it many times and I'll say it again today, because it has to do with Torah. According to Allah, because the Jews broke the Sabbath, he turned them into apes and pigs. And Muslims really believe this. They see monkeys and they see pigs and they really truly believe that these used to be Jews, because Muhammad said so. But this is irrational, and this is not how God behaves. God is extremely angry with Jerusalem. He is intensely angry. He is furious, and yet he completely acts according to his word. So as angry as he is, it's not just helter-skelter anger. I will pronounce on you the sentence that applies to women who commit adultery and murder. That's what God has pronounced. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation shows the faithfulness of God's word and the unbreakability of God's word. I will bring on you the death decreed for furious jealousy. Yes, I will hand you over to them, and they will make a ruin of your platforms, tear down your high places, strip you of your clothes, take away your jewels, and leave you naked and exposed. What happened on October 7th is the worst since the Holocaust. It's the trailer. It's the trailer. Jerusalem and all the other cities of Judah should take warning. October 7th was a trailer coming soon to a theater near you. They will also bring up a mob against you. And again, you can see these paragliders coming in. They will also bring up a mob against you who will stone you to death and hack you to pieces with their swords. It was just October 7th was the trailer. They will hack you to pieces with their swords. And even your babies, they will do this too. They will burn your houses to the ground and execute judgments against you in the presence of many women, or in the presence of many other cities are going to watch and see this. Now, all of this nightmare, it's God who's orchestrating, and it's God who's handing them over, because this is their wages. They have earned this. They don't see it. We're Jews. This shouldn't happen to us. Why? Why shouldn't it happen to you? Because we're Jews. Is that it? Yeah, we're Jews. We're the chosen people. That's all. You have no obligations of behavior? Does the Torah come into this at all? Have you read the Torah lately? What do you think of you violating the Torah? Does that matter? No, we're Jews. Well, God is executing the judgments of the Torah against this whorish nation, and specifically against Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the pinnacle, or so it was supposed to be. Execute judgments against you in the presence of many women. I will make you stop fornicating, and you will never again pay for a lover. So again, this all-night rave and this festival nova and dancing and fornicating all night and worshiping Baal and thinking that we can love everybody and do this right on the border of Gaza. And we just want to love everybody and we don't have any enemies. And deep into idolatry, God says, I'm going to put a stop to this. I'm going to make you stop this. And you'll never do it again. And you'll stop paying your lovers when you see how much they hate you. Yes, I will satisfy my fury against you. But after that, okay, so now we finally begin to see more hope here. After God satisfies his fury, after that, my jealousy will leave you, and I will calm down and no longer be angry. Because you didn't remember the condition you were in when you were young, but enraged me with all these things. Therefore, I will bring the consequences of your ways on your own head. In other words, you've activated the curse clauses in the Torah. You've activated that. So you brought this on yourself, says Adonai Yehovah. You committed these obscenities in addition to all other disgusting practices. Everyone who quotes Proverbs will quote this proverb against you. Like mother, like daughter. And remember, her spiritual mother is the Hittite. And all of that idolatry and sexual filth that came from the land of Canaan, this is the spiritual origin of these people. So even though they moved in and then David took over the land and they established Jerusalem, spiritually, the practices they ended up engaging in come from the Hittite, come from the Canaanite. Like mother, like daughter. Yes, you are your mother's daughter who despises her husband and children. You act just like a Canaanite. You violated the Torah and you behave like a Canaanite because that's your spiritual origin. Yes, you are your mother's daughter. And you know, for those of us now grafted into the covenant with the Holy Spirit, we better make sure that our origin is in fact to the Hebrew root and the Torah. And that our origins are not Christian pagan practices. That God could say to the church today, your origin, your mother is Rome and your father is Egypt. We're saying, no, we come through Christ. But your practices come from Rome and Egypt. And that's your spiritual origin. So here, these people, their spiritual origin was the practices that were in Canaan before they got there. And instead of wiping those practices out, they adopted them. So that's their spiritual origin. You are your mother's daughter who despises her husband and children. You are the sister of your sisters who despise their husbands and children. This is the practice of the Canaanites. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. Moreover, your older sister is Samaria, who lives at your left. She and her daughters, and your younger sister living at your right, is Sodom with her daughters. So Jeroboam took Samaria and led that into idolatry. And this is your sister, also the daughter of these Canaanite practices. And Sodom is also your sister. You're just all one Canaanite peoples. You didn't merely live by their ways and act according to their disgusting practices. So you went into the land, and instead of being this example, this shining light, you just followed them. But you didn't merely live by their ways and act according to their disgusting practices. But in a very short time, you acted more corruptly than they in all your ways. As I live, says Adonai Yehovah, your sister Sodom has not done, neither she nor her daughters, as much evil as you have done, you and your daughters. Now, verse 48, that is an accusation. We just know sodomy, sodomite, Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened to them? Just the pinnacle of filth, or so we thought. God says, no, Jerusalem has outperformed Sodom in corruption and debauchery. And we actually see that. Sodom is, I think, Genesis 19. And if we go to Judges 19, we see how the Israelites outperformed the Sodomites. But this is God is just saying, you've outperformed Sodom. Then he says in verse 49, very interesting, the crimes of your sister Sodom were pride and gluttony. We tend to think of it strictly as sexual depravity, but God says, no, the origin of this sin is pride and gluttony. She and her daughters were careless and complacent, so that they did nothing to help the poor and needy. And that's what we're seeing today. These elite, many of them Zionists, these elite Jews, but the elite worldwide, they care nothing about the poor and the needy. they're just, you know, you look at what happened in COVID and all this wealth transferring, in fact, from the poor and needy to the elite. Where the elite have grown in wealth exponentially, and the poor have grown in their poverty exponentially. So the poor have grown significantly poorer, and the rich have grown significantly richer, all while claiming to care for humanity. They were arrogant and committed disgusting acts before me, so that when I saw it, I swept them away. Samaria did not commit even half as many sins as you did. And we saw what happened to Samaria. How God used the Assyrians to completely destroy Samaria. And now he says to Ezekiel, Samaria did not commit even half as many sins as you did, Jerusalem. You committed many more disgusting acts than your sisters, Samaria and Sodom. In fact, in comparison with all the disgusting acts you have committed, they seem innocent. Now that is something else. You know, I never hear Jews quoting these scriptures. Why is that? These are their scriptures. Why don't we hear them quoting this? Why after October 7th aren't they turning to Ezekiel? Why aren't they turning to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah and listening to the word of God through the prophets? This is quite a condemnation that compared to Jerusalem, Sodom and Samaria are innocent. Wow. 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 We're going to line up these cities and look at their debauchery. And then we're going to, we're in court, and we're going to turn to Samaria and say, you're free to go. And we're going to turn to Sodom and say, you're free to go. Because we have to deal with Jerusalem and the filth and the extent of the filth of Jerusalem, Sodom and Samaria, you're innocent. Wow. But you too must bear your disgrace. For by your passing judgment that your sisters were innocent, so because of your behavior, you made your sisters look innocent, through your having committed sins worse than theirs, they are shown to be more righteous than you. So be ashamed and bear the disgrace you deserve for making your guilty sisters seem innocent. I will end their exile, the exile of Sodom and her daughters, the exile of Samaria and her daughters, and the exiles of your captives there among them. So God says, I will put an end to this, that they will be restored. Think millennium. So that you can bear your own shame and experience the disgrace you deserve for all you have done to shield them from feeling their own guilt. They should have been the highlight, the epitome of filth. But you have eclipsed them. And so they don't feel the pain of guilt the way they should because you've surpassed them. Your sisters, your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite, and your spiritual origin is in whoredom. Your spiritual genealogy is from the filth of Canaan. That's who you are. And so God is calling Jerusalem sister. Sodom is the sister of Jerusalem. And so is Samaria with all of this idolatry and debauchery. Your sisters, Sodom with her daughters and Samaria with her daughters, will return to their previous condition. So their fortunes will be restored. And you with your daughters will return to your previous condition. So we're beginning to see hints of the millennium here. When you were so proud, you spoke with contempt about your sister Sodom. So you were condemning Sodom before your own wickedness was exposed. But now the daughters of Syria mock you, as do her neighbors. So all the Muslim nations around you are laughing at you. And they have a moral code that they think they're superior to you. And they look at your filth. But now the daughters of Syria mock you, as do her neighbors. And the daughters of the Philistines on every side are repulsed by you. So all these nations that surround Israel today, they're all Muslim nations, and they're all repulsed by Israel. They hate the Jews so much that there's nothing they can do to a Jewish boy or a Jewish girl that in any way causes them to feel any guilt at all. They do the devil's will on these children. And they feel, they rejoice. They are gleeful about it. They think it's wonderful because they see the sinful practices of these people and they feel totally justified. Syria mocks you, as do her neighbors, and the daughters of the Philistines on every side are repulsed by you. You have brought it all on yourself with your depravities and disgusting practices, says Jehovah. So again, October 7th is a trailer. You have these disgusting practices. You don't teach your children Torah. You allow them to rave all night, to commit debauchery, perversion, to celebrate sodomy and perversity, to celebrate idolatry, immorality. And then when this backfires, all you can say is, we're Jews. Nobody's supposed to treat us like this. We're Jews. And there's no repentance. And God says, you've brought your depravities and your abominations have brought this on yourself. And this is just a trailer of what's coming to Jerusalem. For here is what Adonai Jehovah says. I will do to you as you have done. You treated the oath with contempt by breaking the covenant. And the vast majority of people in Jerusalem, and in Israel for that matter, have no regard for the covenant. Yes, there are some. But even those, they have bent the covenant to be just human vanity. And we're superior. And the Gentiles are going to serve us. The Gentiles will be our footstools. And we're the special people. And not truly understanding the covenant. And not truly accepting Christ. And there's like maybe a fraction of a fraction that we might call Messianic Jews that actually accept the Messiah. But most Jews, you talk to them about Jesus Christ, you don't want to hear what they have to say. Despite that, despite all of this condemnation, listen to what Jehovah says. They broke the covenant. But think Hebrews 8. God says, finding fault with them, he'll establish a new covenant. Nevertheless, all of that aside, I will remember, you've broken the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember the covenant I made with you when you were a girl. And we'll establish an everlasting covenant with you. This is amazing. Just this chapter alone. Muhammad obviously didn't know the Bible. He was just listening to the traditions of the Jews. As a merchant, listening, remembering, gathering, thinking that what these Jews are saying in the markets, that it's coming from the Bible. But he couldn't tell what's the Bible and what isn't and what's just Jewish folklore. And then he took this Jewish folklore and put it in the Quran. But obviously he never sat down and actually studied the scripture. He was never in communication with Jehovah because he thinks that the great sin of the Jews was simply breaking the Sabbath. That's what he thinks it was. When if we were to sit down with any Muslim that wants to criticize the Jews, they could not criticize the Jews more than God has done just in this single chapter. To say just how absolutely horrifically evil these people are through God's eyes. I'm not saying any of this. I'm just reading the text. And it's a hard text to read. But this is God's evaluation of Jerusalem. And the Muslims don't seem to know the Bible. Because we could simply say, this is God's condemnation of these people. You cannot condemn them more than God has. And yet through all of that condemnation, which is more severe than anything you can say, listen to what God says. Nevertheless, I will remember the covenant. You broke the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember the covenant I made with you when you were a girl and will establish an everlasting covenant with the Arabs. Because I just love Muhammad so much. No, that's not what the text says. That's the fantasy they want to believe, but that's not what the text says. And the Bible reinforces the Bible. You can go all over from Genesis to Revelation. It tells the same story. I will remember the covenant I made with you when you were a girl, and will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your behavior and be ashamed of it as you receive your older and younger sisters and make them your daughters. This is something else. This is like, wow. So Sodom will repent, Samaria will repent, and they will come under Jerusalem. And it's going to be amazing. This is, after all of this condemnation, this is how the chapter ends. This is how the allegory ends. Then you will remember your behavior and be ashamed of it as you receive your older and younger sisters and make them your daughters, even though the covenant with you does not cover that. It's just going to be such a generous covenant. God is going to go overboard to be generous with her. And I will reestablish my covenant with you. I will reestablish my covenant with you. Then you will know that I am Yehovah. And again, meaning Yehovah, it's the ever-living covenant God. And we will have the joy of saying to Jerusalem, behold, and saying to Judah, behold your God, your covenant-keeping God. And they're going to finally repent and understand what it means to be in covenant, how faithful God is to covenant. Then you will know that I am Yehovah. And the final verse here, so that you will remember and be so ashamed that you will never open your mouth again. So ashamed will you be when I have forgiven you all that you have done, says Adonai Yehovah. So God, as difficult as a chapter as that was, the condemnation is epic because the debauchery is epic. And as difficult a chapter as that was to read, what an incredible mercy it shows. What incredible faithfulness to the covenant God has. And we must understand God's faithfulness so that we can preach the gospel and give people true hope, rooted not in their goodness, but in God's faithfulness. And that despite their wickedness, they can still have hope because of God's faithfulness. Just an amazing, amazing scripture for us to really come to understand this God we serve and to faithfully preach his word. I'll check the chat while I do that. I'll just remind you of our Sabbath service this coming Sabbath at 1:30 Eastern time. I will be speaking this Sabbath just to conclude a series we're doing on 2 Peter. And I'm just going through to read if there's anything. Oh, great. Garrett is doing very well. Wonderful. Praise God, Sister Christy. And Petty Milk is on. And Griselda. And Jeff Flanick. Praise God. Well, brethren, God bless you all. Thank you so much for being with us. God willing, we'll cover Ezekiel chapter 17 next week. God bless you all.